Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have a very, very, very special show for you today. I was speaking with the guests backstage. We were already having a lot of fun. So much fun, we had to stop our fun to include you. So we want you to go ahead and include your network. I'm pretty sure there's an entrepreneur, a small business owner, maybe it's your coworker, someone who's contemplating that entrepreneurial life who needs this information. And they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. So send that text, send that tweet, make that post, let everyone know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because if your friends miss out on this information, hey, don't blame me, okay? So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your friends, I want to let you know that today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show is brought to you by the Real Estate Playbook. You are invited to attend the Real Estate Playbook, a 100% educational workshop presented by real estate instructor Deborah Spence, with a simple promise to help you develop a clear plan to sell more homes and earn a consistent income selling real estate. This is an in-person and virtual event. The link is in the Facebook post. Go ahead and click on it, check it out. And while you're going ahead and registering for that event, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. This lovely, lovely, lovely lady is a dear friend of mine. You've seen her on the Roundtable Talk Show almost as much as you see me, which helps because maybe I'll get a co-host for today's show and future shows. But I love to introduce Dr. Jody DeLuca. Dr. Jody is a licensed clinical psychologist with over 20 years of experience. She is cited internationally in major journals and media venues for her expertise and research in emotion, behavior, and relationships. In addition to her private practice, Dr. DeLuca is a member of the American Psychological Association and the Media Referral Service, as well as hosting her own podcast. We'll talk about that with Dr. Jody DeLuca. Good morning, Dr. Jody. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. I'm doing well, thank you. And again, as always, it's a privilege, and I'm so happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to the show today.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I mean, initially, from the first time we met, you stood out. And it wasn't only because of COVID. You're welcome in that aspect. It was because you are one of the most giving people I've ever met. You know, some people were, I believe, were born into their career. And that's you. Like, you were born helping people. You were born talking. I just know it. I feel like I've known you all my life. But for the people who don't know you, Dr. Jody, please tell us who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Well, my passion is about human behavior and people and what makes us tick, what our passions are, what our challenges are. Life is difficult, and every day I have the gift and the privilege of influencing the lives of others. So I can't imagine doing anything else. And with the past year, and I would say year and a half, I think it's just validated that there is a need for more people in this profession of mental health and psychology, but also I realize how important this gift is to be there for others. I have a private practice here in a little town called Erie, Colorado. It's outside of Boulder. I have a history of working within hospitals and emergency rooms, neuro units, trauma units, burn units, and I've had a private practice in Tampa, Florida. And I love my family. I love my pets. I love to travel. And again, I just love to do what I do.
And it shows. It shows in every ounce, every orifice of your body. It just shows. Now, one of the things that we talked about prior to the show is something that has happened in Colorado, and that is the mass shooting. Now you have been there for everyone else. How does someone who's always there for everyone else deal with tragedies such as this?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. And I know Dr. Mary Jo goes through this too, because I think as behavioral health, mental health providers, it is crucial that we take care of ourselves. Since this pandemic started, I know for me, it has been seamless. I'm usually going away every 90 days just to regroup and reset. And that has not been possible for all the variables associated with the pandemic and the need for mental health services. Every day, I have to be intentional, and my colleagues have to be intentional about checking myself, seeing where I'm at, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what is factual, and knowing, having the presence of mind, when to step back, because it's cumulative. And the stories we hear, we have to compartmentalize, and we have to be with that individual we're with every day, whether they're a child or an adult. We have to be there 110%. At the end of the day, I can tell you that I am worn out. There is no room for anything else, but I am also thankful that I get to do what I do. However, it's been very challenging to stay on top of myself and to remember, get out, climb those mountains, hike, which is what I do. Make sure you're eating healthy. Make sure, what are the triggers? Why aren't you sleeping? And all of us in the field of mental health, also known as behavioral health, have had to be very intentional about self-monitoring. Because again, you know, it's been coming in waves. And I would like to say that it's gotten better with the pandemic slowly stabilizing, but there's other things that are happening, such as the shooting, such as, you know, to vaccinate, not vaccinate, what's going on politically, you know, the division in this country, and what's going on in the world. So it's all cumulative, and it's affecting everybody. No one is immune from it.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. I'm going to come back to you, Dr. Jody, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And you have seen him here before as well on the Roundtable Talk Show. And if you haven't seen him on the show, you'll definitely see him in the comments. He's a top fan, king of the comments, always responding and always supporting our guests. So let's support him today, Mr. Jason Gellius. Jason is an award-winning, top producing realtor with Community Choice Realty in Southeast Michigan. Author of the real estate book, Think Like a Realtor, a little book about buying and selling residential real estate through the eyes of a realtor. Good morning, Jason. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
A lot of value you drop. So that's why I try to be in the comments as much as I can. You know, some days are hectic and some allow it. So but either way though, I catch it live or after. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. So I love to ask, especially from someone who watches this show and tunes in, why do you keep watching? What keeps you intrigued about the show?
Well, oh gosh, actually there's a couple major things. One is, you know, the conversational aspect of it. You have different people from different areas, different mindsets, sharing a conversation. And I think that's incredibly valuable. So that's probably the biggest one. And two, it's fun, quite honestly. you know, it's not a stuffy conversation. This would be as if we are sitting at a kitchen table, just, you know, talking about things. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, I love it. So
thank you. I know why I love it. So I just want to hear why someone else loved it. But part of the idea was not just the roundtable and the organic aspect, but anytime you go to a networking and meet event and you get there a little early, what does everyone do? They always sit down at the table. Well, what do you do? Well, I do this and I do that, because it's that excitement of just meeting new people. So something that I always want to do. But enough about me, Jason. Let's talk about you. Tell us about yourself. What do you do and what are you passionate about?
Well, one of my things that I do day and night and twice on Sunday sometimes is real estate. I live, breathe, and probably eat it. One of my daily mindset when I go out into the world is I really try to provide as much value as I can. There's a perception of real estate agents that, you know, they don't do much. Mm-hmm. And there tends to be a stigma with that. And so, you know, a lot of times, I mean, especially for my new clients and even people that I meet with, you know, where they may be hesitant, like, oh, you know, do I need you, this and that. When you stand out and you provide value and you don't make it about yourself, it's just, you know, what are your needs? What are your problems? You know, what do you think, for example, you know, do you think agents are all the same, this and that? When you go out in the world and you provide that value, that is really, really awesome. And so that's really, really what I do daily is I try to be a value provider. That's why, you know, I love shows like this because, you know, quite honestly, you know, it's conversational. It's not spammy. It's, you know, hey, I want to offer people the education in various topics. So daily, that's what I do, the real estate thing. And then I also wrote a book with value and tips and like that. Think Like a Realtor, like you mentioned. And you know, it's just, again, providing value in multiple aspects. I feel that everybody has a book in them. And if you're not sharing that information daily, whether it's in your professional life or your personal life, I'm sorry, but you're kind of being selfish, right? Like you have, you know, I have all this information, expertise, personal experience, right? You know, maybe I overcame some things. People want to know that. And if you're just holding it to yourself, then that doesn't really help. So I really try to do that daily. Obviously I'm not a perfect person. Some days I wake up and I'm like, you know, when you go out and you have a positive mindset and you put things in your mind that are positive, like this show, when you put positive things in your mind, I like to think that positive things go back out. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I just feel that that's, you know, and I've had the platform, especially this year, where, you know, I've been able to reach a lot more people. And it's just such a gratifying thing, you know, to be able to be a trusted resource for what I do. And I know the other guests on the show today know how that feels, you know, when you're basically providing value and for the most part, people appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, I love value. I love to be able to offer information and resources. That's why AshSharifa.com, when you go there, it says the go-to resource for entrepreneurs. You know, that's the whole Ash Sharifa brand, because if I don't know, or if I don't have the service or I can't assist you, I guarantee you there's someone that I know, someone that I met, that I've sat down with for at least 20 minutes, you know, on the roundtable talk show and discuss who they are and what they do. So I'll find someone who can assist you. Now, Jason, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. Whew, this lovely young lady is going to be a pleasure to introduce, Dr. Mary Jo Podgorski. Dr. Mary Jo's life work is serving young people and their families. She has a background in nursing, education, and counseling, and she is certified in sexuality education and sexuality counseling through AASECT. Currently, she serves as the president and founder of the Academy for Adolescent Health, Inc. Good morning, Dr. Mary Jo. How are you?
I'm really good. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I'm watching all of this, and the young people I serve want to do something live. And I'm thinking, I could try to get them to do something like this. Yes. They are my entire universe, the kids are. So I run a teen center. I started that in 2008, and we serve, we've served 2,500 independent young people for over 33,000 hits. In other words, over 33,000 visits at the center. We went virtual the day after I had to close. So March 16th, 2020, we had to close because of the pandemic, and we went virtual the next day. And so I've been Zooming daily, twice a day, with young people. And then in the summer last year, we did 10 summer camps. We reached 197 12 to 14 year olds. And we did holiday camps over the Christmas and holiday break. And we're doing planning summer camps again this year. So that's a tiny piece of what I'm doing with young people. I started teaching young parents in the 70s. That's a long story, but there were three pivotal moments in my life, and that was one of them. I was with a 12-year-old when she gave birth.
Oh, wow.
So I stayed with her the whole time. I'm a doula. I don't know if you know what a doula is, a person who supports yes. other people in labor. So yes. I'm primarily a doula for teens. And then I started teaching sex ed in 81 because of that 12-year-old. I was like, oh, come on. These people don't even know what's happening. So in 88, I formed a partnership with our Washington Health System, which is my local. I live in Washington, PA, which is about four cultures south of Pittsburgh.
I like that.
It's true. And the Washington Health System has been my partner since 88 when I founded a teen outreach with them. And we've taught 250,000 young people, which is a big, nice number. So I run peer education. The young people teach with me. That's my best thing. Give them a voice. And they run my teen center, by the way. I hire only teens to run it. It's totally teen driven. Alumni help supervise it. And they aren't old. They're 20, 21. And then I teach at Washington Jefferson College, WNJ College. And so my students also supervise. We do tutoring. And we're planning our summer camps for this year. Yes. And one of them is a book club. They're going to create a book together. And they wanted to call it Get Lit. And I had to compromise that with putting in parentheses a chur. So it's Get Literature. People in the community wouldn't get the wrong idea. But I will be happy to talk with you about anything that has to do with young people in general and families, of course.
Well, let's talk about it. One of the things that, you know, we heard Dr. Jody talk about mental health and what's going on in the world. Dr. Mary Jo, what were some of your views or your thoughts on what Dr. Jody had to say?
I agree with her. You can't give out of an empty cup. It's easy to have compassion fatigue. But I have a strong support system. I'm very Italian in spite of the Podgorski name. I've been married 48 years to this dude, but I'm still down. And so I have three adult children. We have six beautiful grandbabies, but my staff, my team, we just had a meeting yesterday, did some vision work for the coming year. I'm just surrounded by support. I also write a lot. I've written 37 books.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I have a series, and I just finished the last of the books in the Nani series. Nani's a grandma in Italian. And this Nani talks about mental health. Mm-hmm. And I was inspired to write that because of the last year. I think we have a mental health crisis that's being ignored. I'm sure you would agree with that, Dr. Jody. Not ignored.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not ignored. That's unfair. But we don't have the capacity to take care of it. And young people, little people are having trouble. Preschoolers are having trouble. They're lonely. They don't have social events. They don't play with other people. A mother called me yesterday and said that her 4-year-old, they went hiking. Safe environment, right? But every person this little person saw, he would yell, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, we're hiking, how are you?" It's like he hasn't any social barometer anymore because he saw a person that wasn't in his family. So I will show you, Nani talks about relationships. This is the one I wrote right before Nani talks about mental health. So I have 12, and I take on the elephant in the room, the things people don't want to talk about. So I've written about death, birth, consent, trauma, sex, of course, race. Disability.
Was there any book that stood out to you that you were more passionate about, that you felt made more of the most effect and really, you know, was dear to your heart?
They're all dear to my heart, but the first one I wrote in 2014, so I've written 12 since 14, was Nani Talks About Gender. And I wrote that for a child who was very, very young and was transitioning gender-wise. And the family gave it out to over 80 kids in third grade when this transition happened. So that one had a phenomenal immediate effect. because it helped smooth the way for this child. But the deepest one that I wrote was Nani Talks About Death. That one unequivocally, I was a pediatric oncology nurse back in the day, and I saw a lot of children die. And oh, wow. I tried really hard in that book, where there's a pet that dies unexpectedly. So we can talk about grief whenever you feel like you're guilty, because the child didn't watch the pet and the pet ran into the road. And then there's a grandpa, an abuelito, who dies in Tamika, and Alex are my main characters. They're actually named for peer educators I worked with and that are now in their early 40s.
Oh, wow.
So Tamika and Alex are real people, but Tamika's grandpa dies slowly, and I never say from what. So we look at grief from a child's perspective, and then I was going to end the book. In my storyboard, I had one of the children say, Nani, what happens after you die? And I was going to say, nobody knows. And then I decided that was a total cop-out. So I went back to my illustrator, who is wonderful, Alice is her name, and had her draw the pictures. She's so good at drawing people. She drew 13 of my colleagues who I went to and said, what do you think happens after death? And we started with agnostic and we ended with Wiccan.
Oh, and wow.
We don't talk about the religions. We just talk about their death beliefs, their post. And so it's very powerful. So yeah, I think that was the one that
Well, I have to get that. I have to check that out, the different beliefs. Now, Dr. Mary Jo, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce my new friend. Just made a new friend today, Mr. Peter Mason. Peter is president of ExtraCare USA, an innovative medical device company distributing the ExtraCare product line nationally to the U.S. and Canada. With over 10 years of experience in strategic business development and sales, Peter utilizes his skills to expand the ExtraCare product line to revolutionize and lead the direction of negative pressure wound therapy, NPWT, worldwide. Now I'm going to have Peter explain exactly what I just read. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And how are you?
I'm excited to learn.
Good. Well, I really appreciate you having me on today and everybody else taking the time to join us, because I think this is a really just already great discussion and just hearing everyone else talk. And I think we have a really great panel today, because I think that we have two doctors, you know, dealing with mental health and dealing with our youth and fixing kind of the internal part. And Jason, you know, what something that you brought up was value. How are we being a value? We talked about, you know, writing a book and getting out those values, because we all have different skills and things, but we learn stuff at different rates. And so what you're saying is you're taking things that worked for you and you're letting other people know that. And that was really cool. You know, you're helping people figure out what that value is for themselves. So to me, I think the theme kind of for today is you know, what value can we help other people? What value can we bring? And so mine, what is negative pressure wound therapy? So just to kind of talk a little bit about what you said, it's wound healing. So what I do is more external. I basically am a distributor of a device that heals wounds. And so where our two doctors heal wounds internally and mentally, I'm more the physical side of things, where we're healing wounds, you know, with device and with help. Unfortunately, wound care is one of our biggest, other than our current pandemic, is one of a very big issue worldwide. And as people get older and with diets and nutrition the way it is, and education, unfortunately, not being there as prevalent as it needs to be, wounds are a big issue, and it can really affect people's quality of life. And so I have a passion for, it's a very niche business in the grand scheme of thing in the medical device world. But I think it has tremendous, I think it's in its infancy stages and has tremendous growth potential, because when I look at the landscape I've been doing this for since 2012, dealing with specifically negative pressure wound therapy, I've seen it do some amazing things and really help people. And you know, it starts that process of healing, but then, you know, it can traverse into, you know, once people feel like they can move and walk, and because they didn't feel like they could do those things, then the mental side comes in, and then they feel more apt and more positive and things like that. So I see it as a kind of a, just helping people be themselves as you are doing and with this show, and finding that value within themselves to live a positive and to live a pain-free life, or a wound-free life, I should say. So going back a little bit about myself, I currently reside in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, about 10 iterations from Pittsburgh, but it's okay, you know. And I am, Philadelphia has been I went to Temple University, but grew up in a very small town in rural, in Maine, actually in Bath, Maine. I found myself, when I came to Temple, it was somewhat of a culture shock for me in a different life. And at first I was very, I was like, okay, how do I get out of here? How do I get, you know, back to, you know, something? But that uncomfortable and that risk-taking, because I did that, after about 6 months, I started embracing it. And I'm so happy I did, because I think I've grown so much by taking that risk, and coming to a place that was out of my comfort zone. But since then, Philly's been growing on me and has been a great hub. I do travel a lot, and I'm very fortunate to be able to travel a lot for both work and pleasure. But I find that, you know, it's a great hub to have a place and a foundation in a city like Philadelphia. So that's very growth oriented, and a lot of changing happening. So. Yeah, so I'm basically kind of a serial entrepreneur. I've kind of lived with many hats in my life so far. I'm still young, so I hope to have many more. But I at the same time, I have a lot of different lives. But right now, specifically, my focus is really developing and really getting this product line and the awareness of how negative pressure can be effective, and actually. I see a lot of places where it can go that can help that aren't tapped in yet. So I'm developing a product line, and I'm developing things to be able to go into those and be more effective, number one, and two, to be able to help more people. So it's
wow. I love it, Peter. When you were talking about Philadelphia, I was relating to Long Beach, California. I grew up in South Central Los Angeles. So when I moved to Long Beach, especially the area where I live, I was in culture shock. I was like, no, I cannot live here. I cannot stay here. Yep. It's too small. It's too quaint. There are too many one-way streets. I'm like, let me out of here. But what is it? I moved in 2003. So about 15 years later, I will not, Dr. Jody knows, I will not leave Long Beach. If like, people like, I want to meet. I want to have lunch. You can come to Long Beach. Like, you never leave. I'm in Long Beach. But I want to go back to something you said early on when I said I am going to learn about what you just said. So I heard what you just said, but, you know, they say you can't be the most intelligent person in the room. And I can tell you right now today, I am not the most intelligent person in this room. So what does your technology specifically do? Because I think with wounds, because we talked about internal and externals, I know especially external, we kind of figure, okay, that's as healed as that wound is going to get. Your heal is done, it's fixed, it's mended, it's not going to get any better. So what does your technology do?
Yeah, great question. So what my technology does is it's actually relatively simple. It was something that has been developed from a back actually in during war, when there was wounds on the field, to both kind of help the healing process and to kind of just it's called the Jeter and Jeter system, where that was very kind of simple, but it's basically the idea of you have a wound, and usually when wound healing, when your wound is not healing, it's because of it's not getting nutrients from the body, or you have poor circulation. There can be a variety of reasons, and it can happen to any age, but specifically, you know, as we get older, our circulation tends to decrease a little bit. And in poor circulation, you don't get back nutrients to the wound. And so what my device does and technology does is it brings, it helps stimulate the healing of the wound by bringing nutrients to the top of the skin and basically helping it heal. So you have, you know, a wound and what it's called is granulation. Granulation is the process of bringing the nutrients kind of to the top of the skin so that almost, I'm sure none of you know what a hickey is, but
Dr. Jody might. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. She can explain to you what a hickey is. Would you like to tell us what that is? I can actually show you here.
Us a hickey?
Yeah, it creates a hickey.
You have hickey on the mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Something's going on in your personal life. Okay,
Dr. Jody, we're talking to Peter right now, Dr. Jody. Don't worry about all that. Peter, yes, I'm focused. I'm here with you, Peter.
No, I love it. It creates basically a hickey within the wound bed. And that hickey is actually, that what you see in a hickey is actually the blood kind of going to the top of the skin. And so by doing that, you're bringing nutrients to the top. And it's also, so it's really doing three things. You're helping it heal by bringing, you know, helping stimulate it. Two, you're protecting it because it's a closed system. So you have a pump. You have in a canister, and then you have a dressing, which I can show you here. You have a dressing. So this is like just a normal, like almost like a Band-Aid kit, as you will. And what happens is that you cover the wound with a dressing, just like a Band-Aid. And then that dressing has a tube that connects to the pump. And the pump, when you turn it on, it's like a vacuum and it sucks out here. And what it does is it creates something called negative pressure within the wound underneath that dressing, because it's closed, it creates that pull or that suction.
And it's kind of like a leech effect, right?
Yes, very similar, similar. Yeah. And over time, what happens is, you know, there's something called exudate, and that's kind of a sexy way to say the stuff that your body creates, when there is a wound. So, and I'll keep it there. But basically, I have a canister, and it fills the canister up with that, so it keeps kind of cleaning out, as you will, or taking out that exudate. And just keeps healing it, you know, to allows it to grow. So it protects it, it stimulates the growth, and then also can have other great effects like reduce scarring and heal a lot faster, you know, and things like that. So that's it. That's what's the technology that I deal with, and basically trying to innovate in certain ways, how it's applied and how it works, with something, what I'm coining the term as hybrid technology. There's an old traditional way of how it works and works very well, but I always ask the question, could there be a better way? And yes, it works, but could there be better? And so what I've done, what we're working on now is, and it's taken about 3.5-4 years now to get to this point, we're launching a new device, which is actually this device, with a company called Aliva Medical is my manufacturer. And these silicone dressings, so that you can kind of adapt more to the person rather than the person having to adapt to the device. So right now, traditionally in negative pressure wound therapy, people, you know, it's really for the what has been traditional is that it's really for the people that have, like, worst case, like there's no other solution. They've tried everything and it's like the disaster. And that a wound, you know, won't heal. They're going to have to amputate. You know, sometimes it's like really dramatic. And then they say, okay, well, let's try negative pressure. You know, and it can help at that point for sure. And it does a great job. But why not use it earlier? And why not have it be more readily available? And that's what I want to do. And there's also, I'm bringing out some new dressings that allow you to do some basically use it on many more types of wounds, you know, even incisional wounds, things like that, no matter what your age is, no matter what your health, that you can just use it as more of a protection and to heal faster and reduce scarring rather than kind of at the other end of the spectrum where it's the last resort, you know? So that's why I think it's at the infancy stage, and that's what we're gonna do. is hopefully.
Yes, well, now I understand.
Phenomenal.
It makes more sense to me.
Yeah. I think it's going to revolutionize wound care, right, Dr. Mary Jo? I mean,
I think so.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I think also with specific demographics, like even people with diabetes who, you know, it's a hallmark with regards to wound healing. Have you been on Shark Tank?
No.
Just an idea, but it would be really,
What I love about what you're doing, Peter, if I can be so bold as to speak about it, is my focus in life has been for a very long time to help people develop worthiness. Like, I believe with all my heart that self-worth is what helps our young people make good decisions. Nothing else really does. If a person feels strong about themselves at 15 or has support enough to know that they're worthy at 15, they don't take the risks that can end up changing their lives. For example, having a baby or being involved with drugs. And so I take one person at a time. My tagline is each person is a person of worth. And I try really hard to live with that. So what you're talking about as a nurse, I've seen people in situations where, for one thing, wounds can be odoriferous. They can smell bad. They can make a person feel like nobody would want to be near them. They can make a person feel isolated. And what you're doing, in my opinion, is a lot deeper than an external wound. You're working on salvaging a person's worth, their personhood, their identity, because if they can get past this not healing part of them, they can begin to grow as humans again. So I would, if I were pitching for you, I'd hit on the internal stuff too, my friend.
I agree.
We're going to have Dr. Mary Jo pitch for you then. Nobody says no to Nani.
Well, actually, that's not true. I've had a few people say no to Nani in the past, but Nani keeps going anyway. That. No.
They're lost.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's amazing. I know my wife, who's a nurse, will actually be watching this after her shift. I think it's amazing, quite honestly. Obviously, because of what you offer, Peter, but also quite honestly that you have the gumption to get out there and do it. I mean, that's amazing to me. It's just, you know, to take that ball and run with it is awesome. And at the same time, it benefits other people too. I mean, that's huge. It kind of goes back to what I was saying about providing value. I mean, you have to go out and feel good about that, Peter, because, you know, you're really making a difference. And, you know, like Dr. Mary Jo was saying, and Jody was saying that, you know, self-worth is huge. You know, I can personally tell you that it's on a smaller scale, but I didn't have that high self-worth until I started, you know, really making a change in my life, professionally. And then it affected all aspects because I was like, you know, I can't do that. I can't do, you know, and it's like, so with that mentally and physically, if you can help somebody build up their self-worth, that's huge.
Yeah, and the self-esteem, I want to ask you, is it something that can be used with like the flesh-eating bacteria or even burns that I've seen a lot of? Is it because part of that is also the fear of losing a body part or losing pieces of your body, right, Dr. Mary Jo?
Absolutely.
And again, it's the self-worth, the self-esteem. So what you're doing, in my experience, is like revolutionary in so many ways and so broad as far as a spectrum of who can benefit from it, all ages. But would it also be specific to these, you know, burns, like I said, and the necrotitis fasciitis? Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
Dr. Mary Jo?
Okay. These are really hard things that you're talking about, Dr. Jody. I mean, it's difficult. I had a patient when I was a young nurse at Sloan Kettering, which is a major cancer center in New York City. who had had an open wound, we probably could have used you then, Peter, as a result of her cancer. Mm-hmm. It was abdominal. Mm-hmm. And ironically, this person was a survivor of Auschwitz. So she'd had a very difficult life, right? And her cancer was, they couldn't close the wound. And one of my tasks was to give her some ease, some of her discomfort and her pain by draining the wound and then putting some, not something as nice as what you have, but something that would help ease the comfort with a covering. Mm. And she said that she liked me to do it because I didn't wrinkle my nose. And I talked about everything, like not about her wound. And we talked about her life, and I was able to distract her from what we were doing. So she really asked me to do it. But I think about things like that when I hear about what you're what you're doing. Each person carries their own weight. And none of us are without challenges, of course.
Right.
But young people, and if I can kind of pull this out, everyone on this panel is an entrepreneur. And I had an eighth grader tell me a few months ago that was his career aspiration. He wants to be an entrepreneur. And I said, tell me what that means to you. Because I do that with everything. When a young person says to me, I'm pansexual, I don't say, oh, I know what that is. I go, tell me what that means to you. Because I don't know what they're thinking.
Right.
Yeah. And so this young man at 14 in eighth grade said, I want to go out into the world and do something I love and make a difference. And I also want to make money doing it. And I thought, you know, I'm a lot older than all of you, but we were taught to say, I'll be a secretary or a nurse or a teacher if we were women. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that that's what his first words out of his mouth. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. So I congratulate all of you for what you're doing and for setting this up as a roundtable. It's such a nice way to learn about other people's work.
Yes. Thank you. I was interested about your thoughts, Peter, on Dr. Jody's question.
So, I mean, you mentioned burns, for instance. Yes, there is a great application to help with the scarring and for burns because of that healing process that happens. And yes, there's also a lot of innovation. What would with a burn, it'd be a little bit, so they do skin grafts, and technology has come so far with skin graft and the ability to kind of, put to allow that to heal, but then we can actually use negative pressure on top of that to then stimulate even more and to help with the scarring and things like that, as you will. So I think that there's so many applications to this technology that can help in so many different ways. And part of it too is you know, there's a couple different, it has been around for a while, and I do have quite a bit of competition actually. And I'm very, compared to my competition, I'm going up against billion-dollar companies. And it's it's interesting because if I think of it that way, I probably wouldn't continue because at the end of the day, their will, and they're constantly, innovating and doing things and have the resources to do so. But one thing that I like to do is just take it a day at a time and just know that whether my impact is whatever it is, it doesn't matter as long as I'm trying to, take one step in front of the other. And I do have a vision for where I think that this can go and where it's going. And I want to be help that and go in those other areas so we can help more people. But at the same time, like not to get too overwhelmed by, all those different things. And I'm sure, in both of your, in all of our fields, I think that there's, something you're bringing up is the mental, our mind is so powerful. Our mind is so powerful. And if you decide, if your mind and you agree that you can't do something, you can't do it. You're right. You're exactly right. You're going to be right. But if you agree that you can do something, then the mind can shape and the universe can help you to do things that you never thought was possible just because you're believing in yourself. So that self-esteem part, everything that you're talking about, I completely agree with, because it's so important that we do believe in what we're doing and the impact that we're going to have.
Or that I definitely we wanna, agree.
Yeah.
Peter, I had a question. So I have worked in a burn unit and changed my life forever. But one of the questions I have is, are you negotiating with the military at all or the federal government? Because we have so many men and women who are coming back from war zones that are, you know, the burns, their life, sure. body parts due to secondary infections, which we know is prevalent with burns because of the wound care, debridement, the pain, induced comas and all that. So are you negotiating?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I mean, so the VA is somewhere, you know, in getting in. And so what I do is I've pretty much focused on have distributors, right? And I work with them to accomplish and to get into different arenas. And for instance, like I have a distributor that's looking at getting a contract with the VA to offer and to be able to, so they can purchase those, you know, my devices and the services.
Okay.
But really, you know, I think you bring up a great point. You know, there is the cost of things too can be a barrier to entry. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is, well, how do we make it more efficient? Because one of the problems is in the industry is about 6 years ago, there was something called a competitive bid. And because negative pressure is more niche, it's very easy for lobbyists and for cut that down, or we can create a, you know, competitive bid to streamline the prices. And a lot of companies that entered the company bid just to be a part or to grow their own business, they didn't even necessarily know what it was. They joined, they entered the bid and put, you know, they called around, try to figure out the numbers. And unfortunately though, they know what really negative, you know, it's not something we can just drop ship and just leave at somebody's door and they can just apply it themselves, at least yet. I mean, hopefully I'm getting there, but the point is that there's a lot more overhead. There's a lot more time consuming and education that has to go along with this. And so when all these companies bid at a very low rate, it brought everything down and it made it very well, brought everything down so that the manufacturers didn't necessarily want to provide it at those costs and the distributors couldn't make money. So then they stopped distributing it. So it kind of slow
yes.
down where everything was happening. So what I'm trying to do is find a happy medium between, you know, bringing and making things more innovative and better and more effective and simpler. I mean, I think simple, the more simplistic you can make something is so important to me, because I think that saving people's time and nurses' time in the field and things like that, if you can kind of streamline things, is really where innovation.
Yes, absolutely.
In rural areas too, simpler, yeah.
Which is part.
I definitely agree. One of the things that I wanted to go back to with Jason is we talked about self-esteem. We talked about value. You talked about being confident within yourself. And one of the things that was interesting to me is when you started to speak, you said that there is an idea in people's mind that realtors don't do anything. They're kind of this middleman and you're paying them a fee for doing nothing. But you took a really positive spin on it. Instead of seeing that as a negative, you said, hey, if you want to do it yourself, here's the Bible, here's the manual. This is to how to think like a realtor. But then we also find out, because people think a lot of what I do, especially online marketing, oh, I could just do that, SEO, I could just do that. And I'm like, okay, this is my book. You can buy the book and learn how to do it, or I can do it for you. And even people who buy the book usually still wind up coming back to me because they're like, oh, I didn't realize it required that much. So thinking like a realtor, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so much information out there about so many other topics, and yet the majority of people, and maybe this is unfair to say, but I feel that the majority of people don't take that advice. You know, you could, or if they try, you know, and I think everybody should at least try. You know, I'm not opposed, you know, for example, in my industry, I don't tell people, oh, you know, you shouldn't sell your house on your own, or you should. I mean, no, go ahead and try. That's fine. And it, you know, you may get away with it. But what I've seen, and I've seen this comment, you know, a lot, is where the homeowner goes, they buy the for sale by owner sign, they put it out there. And then when they, you know, if they do get a buyer, and I've had a few where they've gotten a buyer and they're like, okay, now what do we do? You know, because there's this whole, I mean, this whole other aspect of it. And so, you know, it's not something that it's okay, you know, you shouldn't have done that. It's, you know, you can try it, but let's put a lot of thought into it. You know, we put a lot of thought into other things, right? Like our grocery list, or even buying a car. It's like, well, you know, I looked at four different dealerships. Okay, but you didn't look at four different real estate agents when you were thinking about selling your biggest item that you'll ever sell in your life, probably. So I think that people really need to, they need to gather that information. And, you know, for me, it's nice because people are usually open to getting information. It's rare that I give out a business card without my book. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we're like, oh, that's a little different. And I feel any business can do that. Mm-hmm. Whether you're the local dentist or plumber, you know, I mean, there's ways to stand out like that. And it doesn't take much.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's what I tend to do. Peter, do you have a book?
I do not.
Okay.
So you gotta get you. That doesn't.
It's not hard to write them.
Okay. All right.
37 books later.
I have to share something quickly, though. Is this okay? I'm a teacher in my heart, and that I teach all the time. And we've talked about self-worth and self-esteem. That has to be dripped into a child. Let me explain what I mean by that. We're in schools all the time. We have contracts with all the schools in the area. And sometimes the superintendent will say to me, we have a problem with self-esteem. Will you come in and do an assembly? Sure, I will. And I leave young people motivated because I can do that. But you don't give self-worth or self-esteem as a bolus. You have to get it as you grow. You have to be surrounded by affirmations. Children have to have one adult, just one, who believes that the sun rises and sets on them, who loves them unconditionally, who accepts them, not tolerates, accepts them, who they are and as they are. And that's how self-worth builds.
Oh, I love it. Can you be my nanny too?
Yeah. I will be your nanny. I am a lot of people's nanny, dear. I am. It's very sad to me when I meet a teen who has never been affirmed.
Yes, we got to change that. This has been such an incredible show. I love what I do. I love my life, not to knock anyone else's life, but this has just been such a pleasure. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Jason.
Ooh, no pressure.
No pressure.
All right. I'll set the bar low and then everyone else can bring it up a little bit. Well, first off, thank you for having me. Great show. For those of you watching, if you're not sharing this, you're really being selfish. You gotta share this show with your friends on Facebook or wherever you are actually listening to this, share it. On that note, my main hub is my website. It's allaboutherealestate.com. I post real estate videos up there as well as on social media. All my links are on there. My shameless self-promotion is my book, Think Like a Realtor. It's advice and some real world experiences in there, without the names and addresses, of course. I want to leave on this note is that, one, everybody has a book in them, so get started on that. And two, you have it in you to provide the best information about what you do and what you know. You have it in you. So don't worry about imposter syndrome and I can't do it. Just do it, and you will find that people are more receptive to value. So other than that, thank you guys, the other guests. I feel smarter being on the show today.
I feel smarter just being in this room.
I'm like, wow, okay. Anyway, thanks for having me, and thank you guys.
Of course. Thank you. Always feel free to come back. Now, Peter, there's a book in you. Everyone has a book in them. You mm-hmm. don't have to have imposter syndrome. Just go in there and get it out, because the book is a door opener. I'm telling you, Peter.
Great.
What do you have for us?
I love it. No, I'm gonna start working on my book.
Yes.
You know, I think one of my favorite quotes is, the best way to take care of the future is to take care of the present moment. That was from not a Buddhist philosophy, but I really embrace that, because I think the best thing you can do is be present right now. I think with the pandemic and everything going on in the world, you know, it can really take you out of, you know, making you live in the past or the future. And so the three things kind of in my life that have helped me is embrace failure. I don't know how many times I failed, but it's only a failure if you let it be. If you use it to your advantage, to learn and to not do that again, then it wasn't a failure. That, and number two was the fact that, you know, positivity and being positive is so important in my life, and you can choose. You always have a decision to choose to be positive. And I need to remind myself more often than not that that's my decision, and I need to do that more. And I just want to thank everyone for their time today and the discussion and letting me be part of this. And you know, and all of the work that you guys do, I mean, from the mental capacity in kids, I mean, that's a very, I admire you for it, because I can only imagine how that can be difficult, but also be very rewarding. So, but thank you for everything that you guys do and the value that you bring to your community.
Absolutely. Thank you, Peter. And when you publish, no, not when you publish, like right before you publish your book, because I'm always booked in advance. So we want to schedule your next appearance so you can come back and talk about your book.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Yes, Dr. Mary Jo, we're down to the last few minutes of the show. What should people take away from your appearance today?
Well, thank you very much. Peter, you just quoted one of my favorite authors, just an FYI. To anyone watching, if you're an adult, if there's a young person in your life, you can make a real difference in that child or that teen's life just by being there as a trusted adult. There's a term I learned when I was a hospice nurse. It's called holding space.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have words. You simply give the gift of your presence. You don't have to talk with a young person who's troubled. They don't want to talk anyway most of the time. What you have to do is listen, read their body language, see what they need, offer yourself. I have a book that is for adults, and it's called Sex Ed is in Session, and it's about talking about the challenging topics in life. And that's what I focus on every day, because little people hear you. I do focus groups for all my Nani books, and third and fourth graders, fifth and sixth graders, seventh and eighth graders, you would be amazed at what they know. I did Nani talks about trauma after the Parkland shooting. I was shocked, but when I said, this is what trauma is, after they told me what they thought it was, one little boy in third grade said trauma was not having anybody sit at lunch with.
Aww.
After he lunched by himself. And then they knew about what happened. I mean, thinking that young people don't know about death and about trauma and about shootings and about divorce. And they live through all this. And people think because they're young, they don't hear. They hear it all. And they need somebody to process it with. So if you're an adult watching this, please be that person for a young person. If you're a young person, find a trusted adult.
Words to live by. Thank you, Dr. Mary Jo. I appreciate you. Do we do it again, Dr. Jody?
Well, another fantastic show, my friend, with such incredible guests that changed the world. And I think especially in these times, we need this. We need to be open to all possibilities. We need to be kind. We need to come in peace, and we need to have hope. And all of you here today, I mean, I'm just invigorated, and we have to focus on the good things in life, because there's been so much darkness And all of you are the light. And that's what we need. And my friend, by having this show, you just emanate it. And I think especially you. Mm-hmm. So have hope. And every day, whenever you're feeling a little off or down, reach out to somebody. Mm-hmm. Reach out.
Yes, thank you. That, like Dr. Mary Jo mentioned, one of the things that I do and I consider the Roundtable Talk Show is just simply holding space. This is a space, sacred space that I hold for entrepreneurs and business owners to come in and be vulnerable and share their journeys and share their stories. So yes, it is amazing. But Dr. Jo, do you also look inside America's Minds?
Oh, that's right. I have a podcast and it's Inside America's Minds. You can find it on Spotify. You can listen to it, YouTube. It's been 10 years in the making. Private practice and working in hospitals is time consuming. And I have to say that Sharif really encouraged that. Inside America's Minds is about everyday people with extraordinary life experiences and validating that you can go on, that there is possibilities, there is hope, and overcoming challenges. And as human beings, I am amazed more and more every day how we get through the most difficult of times. And that's what Inside America's Minds is all about. So thank you for reminding me about that. I was so enthralled with everybody. I forgot about Inside America's Minds. Godspeed, everyone.
Yes, I'm so proud of you. I love it. Thank you. I definitely have to mention that. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you sharing the show. But as always, please don't just watch the show and share the show. Support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to share their thoughts, their products, their services, their books with you. So please support them. Follow them on social media. Their website links are in the Facebook post. Send them a message. Reach out to them. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.